Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for news and analysis of the stories that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition to News in Focus. My special guest tonight is Will Riddle. He is the pastor teacher of the Go Network. And Go Network is an opportunity to reach out to the millennial generation in small group and pastoral care. We're going to talk with Will in just a minute. And I wanted to give everybody an update, of course. The D-Day Landing Prayer Act, if you weren't listening to last week's program, passed the United States Senate by unanimous consent. Senator Rob Portman phoned our office that afternoon on June 5th, the eve of the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings, and his staff had called earlier in the day informing us of an attempt by the senator to get the motion passed by a unanimous consent motion. And that really is a Hail Mary pass when it comes to political opportunity on the Senate floor. But the senator called back within the hour. I told him, of course, we would be praying, and we had our network of prayer team praying across the state of Ohio. And he called back with the glorious news that the D-Day Landing Prayer Act had passed by unanimous consent in the U.S. Senate on June 5th in time for the observance of the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, last session, the 126th Congress, the measure passed by a vote of 386-26. Well, time ran out. And now in this session of Congress, it has passed the U.S. Senate. Well, now it goes back to the House, and since they already passed it, it's pretty much a fait accompli that they will pass what is the D-Day Landing Prayer Act, also known as the World War II Memorial Prayer Act. And, of course, what will that do? Well, we'll add FDR's D-Day Landing Prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and we'd like to direct you to our website where you can receive a transcript of the prayer and also to hear the video, hear and see the video that was constructed by one of the young men in our church a few years ago. It's had over 4,000 views, and you can actually hear FDR pray in his own voice as he did on the morning, June 6, 1944, as Allied troops were landing in Europe for the liberation of Europe was underway. And this will add this wonderful historical presidential prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Again, learning more, you can go to our website at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Also, you can phone us at 330-887-1922, and we can walk you through a petition page where you can sign the petition to add this wonderful historical presidential prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Well, back to our special guest tonight, Will Riddle with Go Network, and I've known Will for a few years. In fact, he is an advisor to the Ohio Christian Alliance and soon-to-be board member of the Ohio Christian Alliance State Board. Will is a graduate of Duke University. He homeschools with his wife. They reside in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they have a couple of children, and he has a real heart for ministry in the small group setting to reach out to the millennial generation. And we're going to talk with him about the kinds of issues that young people are facing today and just what is on their minds, what makes them tick. And we're glad you've joined us tonight. Again, well, welcome with me, Will Riddle of Go Network. Will, welcome to the program.
Chris, thanks so much for having me on. Just really excited here to be able to share with you.
Well, Will, thanks for taking the time out to do so. Also, wanted to ask you a question about Go Network. Give us kind of a synopsis of when it was launched, what was the vision behind it, and then we'll talk about details of what you're engaged in right now.
Well, yes, Chris. So, you know, we moved out here to Cincinnati with the idea of doing some ministry. We were originally involved in recovery ministry, working with recovering addicts, alcoholics, homeless, things like that. And, you know, as we were doing that ministry, you know, we noticed a real shift in the political climate in our country, and that just kind of it put a burden on our hearts. And we started to reflect really on how far, you know, we're not that old, but started to reflect on how far the country has fallen even in our own lifetimes, and just start to really pray and say, God, what is it that what is it that we can do? You know, what are the five smooth stones? What are the things that we can do to really change or affect the direction of our country and leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children? So that's that was kind of how we, you know, that was the burden behind it. And, you know, out of that recovery ministry, I had written a book, Free at Last, How to Make the Gospel Work. And it's a message that's really, it's tailored towards people that have had addiction and it's been in prisons and various places like that. But it's at the same time, it's a message for our time. It's the gospel presented from a personal responsibility angle. You know, beginning, you know, to even to begin to know that we know that to be saved, you have to recognize that you're a sinner, that, you know, that Christ is the one who died for you, that you need to be saved through him. But even before you can know that you're a sinner, you've got to have some notion of responsibility, that you're the cause of the things that are happening in your life. And, you know, we've come to a place in our culture where that's, you can't assume that. You can't assume that people know that. So I wrote this book, and we started, pastors were interested in that. They liked that. We started running a conference called Go Narrow and a number of churches, and that became fairly popular. And what happened was it kind of snowballed into what now is known as the Go Network. And really our mission as the Go Network is to activate the body. As I was sharing with you, as we were praying and asking God, you know, what can we do to change the direction of the country? What he really burdened our heart with was to activate the body, that there's percentage-wise, there's still in America more Christians here than there are in pretty much any other country in the world. And yet, if you look at China, and China, they're winning. They're advancing the gospel aggressively, and they're probably on track to become a Christian nation in our lifetimes. In the meantime, we're losing. We're the gospel's receding in influence in our country. And so, you know, I guess in my heart, I would just say, Chris, these things should not be. You know, we shouldn't just accept this as a fact of the end times or any other reason. You know, we should begin to believe God and ask him for strategies, ask him for new approaches, and ask him for a fresh fire in our heart to change the direction that we're heading.
You talk about new approaches. The millennial generation, a lot of people are trying to get their heads wrapped around exactly the millennials, what they're thinking, what their likes are, their dislikes, what their passions are, what their interests are, even what their political makeup is. I was at a political gathering just about a month ago, and there was a young man that stood up and talked about and actually wrote a book about the millennial generation and where they score on a list of issues ranging from abortion to euthanasia to the capital punishment, legalization of marijuana, homosexuality, homosexual marriage. It was very interesting, and it was kind of a checkered view, actually, is what we would consider as social conservatives, of what we would consider a conservative worldview, a biblical worldview, that marriage is between one man and one woman, that all life is precious, and life begins at conception and is deserving of protection under the law, that there's a penalty for sin, that all human life is valued when you consider those who take innocent life, and that's why we have capital punishment in this country, in most of the states. So it's very interesting to hear this young man kind of espouse his view of his interaction with the millennial generation, what their likes and dislikes were, where their political leanings were, how many of them voted, for instance, Mr. Obama as opposed to Mr. Romney or Mr. McCain over the last couple of presidential election cycles. And then how conservatives might reach out to the millennial generation. You've had your pulse on this, obviously a graduate of Duke University, but also you hold a Master of Divinity in Urban Ministry from Gordon Cornwell Theological Seminary. Obviously, you are geared to reach and minister to this generation. How are you going to go about that, or how does Go Network go about reaching the millennial generation?
Well, you know, I think that the revelation that we've had, and I think others have had, is that we're beginning to be in a cross-cultural type evangelism situation. some of the insights that the missions movement has developed over the past century is that you really have to, you've got to speak the gospel into the language of the culture that you're going into. You know, so no one would go to a native tribe and, you know, anymore and just start, you know, start teaching and preaching Western values and this is what the Bible says, because they know that that's going to be irrelevant to that tribe. You know, we know that we're supposed to incarnate the gospel into the language of those that, you know, that we're trying to communicate with, right? And so when you think about this younger generation, right, it's very much it's a media culture, it's a pop culture. You know, it's like even when I was a kid, I'm not that old, but when I was a kid, you went outside and played. You know, in my neighborhood now, you don't see kids outside that much. I mean, you do sometimes, but it's a media generation. It's media saturated, and so the cross-cultural element of it, you know, there's one advantage, which is that in our time, in my time, I think everyone had a general awareness of the gospel. They'd been to church or something like that. But now you have a lot of kids that, you know, for whom hearing about Jesus is actually interesting. You know, the only thing they've ever heard about Jesus was like they saw a magazine cover once or something like that. And so there's an opportunity, I think, Chris, for us to present the gospel fresh to a whole new generation. You know, you asked about their political leanings. You know, I think that you're right. There's very much a libertarian streak. You know, there's an awareness that you know that what's been going on, you know, pretty much for their entire adult lifetime. You know, with their perception of what Bush was like, and now their perception of Obama, it's kind of like neither nor. Is there anything different where people can just leave me alone and I get to do what I want?
Well, right. And polls would show, for instance, that this generation is pro-life, but they would be more liberal when it would be from, let's say, homosexual unions or homosexual marriage or relations. They're more liberal in that view of the gay lifestyle. But when it comes to defending life, many of them would say, "Well, I'm opposed to abortion. I lean towards pro-life." But that's why I'm saying, from a social conservative viewpoint, the millennials kind of have their, like you say, their own libertarian view of how they approach politics, and kind of a, kind of pick and choose on a variety of issues. And they, you know, I don't know where they would come down on the legalization of marijuana or a liberal view of marijuana, for instance. But, you know, the jury's still out on that, as you've seen Colorado and you've seen Washington State legalize. Now we see some of the problems that are coming about with the legalization of marijuana in those two states. But I don't want to get off track here. But back to the point of what you're making is that they are somewhat libertarian in view. So it's kind of a cross-section politically then.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, we when we think about, what you know, how we lost America and what it would take to get it back in any kind of sense, we really have to understand that there's a multi-front activity that has to happen, right? I mean, you know, first and foremost, we actually have to reach, we have to evangelize, you know, everyone, and especially the younger generation, who are going to determine, you know, our future. And I think part of that evangelism is presenting a love that is real, that is tangible. You know, one of the things that, you know, I don't know how much you've traveled in missions, Chris, but one of the things that we come up against here in America and other places in wealthy nations is all that media saturation. You're competing. You're competing with ubiquitous entertainment, right? And if you can have any kind of entertainment you want, then, you know, it's not just enough to show up with a message. That's boring, right? But when you show up in someone's life with a love that's real, Chris, when you're there for them in those moments of brokenness, and if you could think about, you know, we've talked a lot about the family in America is falling apart. Well, the family in America falling apart is a great tragedy, but what it also means is that it's a million or 10 million or 100 million micro tragedies, right? And if all of us will be involved in the lives of the children who are being broken in these situations, whether we're in ministry contexts or whether we're neighbors or whoever we are, If we will be the love of God, the person who's available, the person that cares, the person who's not glued to the TV and the internet, the person who's there to listen, those doors are wide open. You know, and I think that we need to begin to rethink our understanding of the gospel in the terms of, you know, Jesus coming and he incarnated himself into a lost, broken, dying world. I mean, into a Roman, you know, Roman world with pagan morality. He incarnated himself into that world, and people were drawn to him like a magnet. And I think that's really because the love that they sensed through him. And so I think really, Chris, the first part of it all is our understanding of God as the most loving person you could ever know, and then ministering that to a lost and dying generation. I believe that we will see the harvest is white.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking to Will Riddle with the GO Network. You're listening to Christian News in Focus. You can hear us each Monday night at this same time. Will, when we talked about how applying the gospel to the culture, and then when we see how missionaries now going out today are finding a new way to evangelize within the culture that they exist, and we see examples of that through history. For instance, St. Patrick, when he was ministering to those on the Irish island, in Ireland, he used symbols of those things around him, like the three-leaf clover, to describe the Trinity. And so he used the props and tools that were available to him to reach out to the people of Ireland and evangelize them. He planted over 300 churches in his lifetime. I think what you're saying is along the same vein. With this millennial generation, we need to use tools and the props to reach them in the generation, which not changing the gospel. We're not morphing the gospel. The gospel remains eternal. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not changing you're advocating changing the gospel. You're talking about finding a way in which to communicate that gospel effectively to this culture.
Absolutely, Chris. And, you know, I mean, I'll just give you one example of something that we've done. You know, I'm sure everyone remembers the Occupy Wall Street movement, you know, and of course, you know, politically speaking, a lot of what Occupy Wall Street would have stood for would not be what we would stand for, right? But if you were to look closely at sort of what's driving the average person who's showing up there in the park, you know, forget about the organizers, the well-funded people, you know, from Tide Foundation and other places that are driving that kind of activity. Think about the average person. What's drawing them? There's a sense of frustration with existing political systems. There's a sense that there's people with money that are driving things in the way that they oughtn't to be driving things, right? If you can abstract that back to a high enough level, you can find that really there's contact points with what they think is going on in the world and what God says is going on in the world, right? And
that's right.
So what we did was we cut a tract that's, you know, a lot of tracts, they're kind of designed to basically be what I would call deal closers. You put something there, you hit, and then, you know, give your life to Jesus, right? But what we've done is we've put together a line of outreach tools that are openers. They're designed to get people to think from where they are to begin to consider, you know, maybe Jesus is somebody I really ought to think about. You know, maybe this is something that I really need to begin a process in my life of exploring, right? And so we put together a tract, and it presents Jesus essentially as, you know, someone who was frustrated with money men and people that were in control and people that had power, and of course all that's true, right? And Jesus was someone who confronted those systems of his day. And so we create in that way a contact point, a cultural contact point, whereby there's an opener. We can have a dialogue and begin for those, you know, go fishing, if you will. Some fish will jump in and we can take them to the next step.
Yes. I'm looking at your website, kingdomchange.org. You have a lot of resources there, and some of your, there's actually videos of some of the messages and resource materials. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So we have, we're a ministry network, so we have a number of ministers, and that's thegonetwork.net. And my personal site, Kingdom Change, you know, I'm the lead pastor teacher, so I have a number of books that I've written. I have various people that I coach and articles that I've written on there. And so it's a really good place to kind of, you know, if you're hungry, if you're seeking to kind of understand what's going on, I've got different materials that are designed to help with things from relationships to perspectives on the church. And ultimately, again, our goal is to activate the church. You know, Chris, you brought up a really good issue that I'd kind of like to highlight as an example, which is the pro-life cause. You know, it's not an accident that young people are pro-life. It's the fact that the church has been rock solid on that issue for 40 years, and we've been running very aggressive campaigns in churches, you know, and across denominational spectrum.
Yes.
It's something that we've made an argument for in the public square, right? So even people who have very little Christian background have a general sense on their conscience now that that abortion is murder. And that's not an accident. That happened because the church developed an argument, brought it into the public square, and we kept on it, and we're continuing to keep on it, right? We haven't done that at all in an issue like gay marriage, right? We've said we're against it, but in terms of, if you were to ask even an average Christian, what is it that about gay marriage that you would cause you to have pause? Well, they wouldn't be able to tell you anything, most likely, right?
The church has actually fallen silent on that issue. The pulpit's not really addressing it. Youth leaders aren't addressing it. I know that there are exceptions, but by and large, across the landscape, especially here in Ohio, the pulpit has gone silent on addressing the cultural challenge to marriage and the sanctity of traditional marriage with homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and redefining marriage with two women, two men, or multiple partners, or two women, two men, one man, this kind of thing, polygamy. When people, they don't even stop to think about what it would mean when you redefine marriage. And again, there's no resource in the pulpit or the church or on Sunday morning that addresses this issue. Some pulpits actually have gone silent addressing any social concern. They act as if the outside world doesn't exist. You know, we often say that the ACLU says, keep your religion to yourself in your church. Well, you know, that notion is ridiculous because of the First Amendment in this country. We have the right to freedom of expression and religion and the freedom of press and speech. But there are churches, by compliance alone, that are doing it on their own accord by not addressing the cultural challenges around us. So when young people come to church, it's important to get the gospel without question. I wouldn't advocate politicizing the pulpit, dominating with that, but to address the cultural challenges that the congregation is facing and being bombarded with on a daily basis, to not do so is to really stick your head in the ground like an ostrich as if it doesn't exist.
Well, and Chris, you know, you touched something that's really, really close to my heart there, which is the direction of our youth. You know, as we travel the country, we meet a lot of really outstanding Christian folks. But I'll tell you how rare it is that we meet outstanding Christian people that also have outstanding Christian youth. And that's you know, if you were to think, what if we just kept our own and all of our own reached a few? You know, we wouldn't take very long. One generation or two, we would re-evangelize America. But what's happening is the opposite. We're losing almost all of our youth, and occasionally a few come back when they're in their 30s, right? And so we've in some ways abandoned them. We've said, hey, parenting is going to take place essentially in the schools, in the public school environment. Parenting is going to take place, on my kids. Various teams, nothing wrong with teams, but we've outsourced all of that, right? And we've said the kids have to make all their own choices. And I'll tell you that, Chris, in this generation, one of the cravings that kids have because of that belief is they have craving for guidance because parents feel that they're not allowed to give their kids guidance. Mm. And so, part of the burden of our heart is really that, we would sound an alarm in America that say, no, I am going to take responsibility for the future of my children. I'm going to do, Chris, I know I've met your kids and they're amazing children, and I just have to imagine that in your heart is something similar to what's in mine, which is that, if I lose my children that nothing else really matters. No ministry doesn't matter.
That's right.
Employment doesn't matter. If I lose my children, if I lose their eternal destiny, I've lost it all. And so for me, I've just made that commitment in my heart that whatever it takes, wherever I have to go, whatever I have to do to not only reach my children, but to raise them to be leaders in a direction for God.
We're talking with Will Riddle, the director of Go Network, and also you can resource online his sermons and teaching materials at kingdomchange.org. Will, we're just scratching the surface here today. We're going to have you back next week for part two. Can you do that?
Sure, I'd love to come back again, Chris, talk
because
more.
Because what we're talking about really is a cultural change in how we address and reach this current generation. We're not even duplicating ourselves one-on-one. It was Dallas Troutman, the founder of the Navigators, who basically said, get one other person that you evangelize. You win them to Christ, you raise them up and disciple them in Christ, and then you send them on. This was the biblical pattern. We're really talking about, we talk about a demographic winter where couples are not having children in Europe, and that Europe will be taken over by the Muslim, basically, immigration invasion, because that Europeans are not basically reproducing. Well, spiritually, the Christian church isn't reproducing. The Southern Baptist Conference just reported in the last several years that there has not been a real growth of baptisms, new memberships, and salvations, one of the largest evangelical denominations in America. This is a dangerous trend. This has to be turned around. There's an opportunity here in, like you said, what Jesus said, look onto the fields, for the harvest is white already, ready for harvest. But we need to have the tools to be able to go and bring in the harvest. Will's going to join us next week. Again, we're talking here with Will Riddle of the Go Network. Also, his resources can be obtained at kingdomchange.org. You're listening to News in Focus with the Ohio Christian Alliance. Will, give us your contact information just before we say goodbye.
Sure. Anyone, you email me at will@thegonetwork.net and would love to hear from you. Thegonetwork.net.
Excellent. And you'll be our guest next week. We'll have part two. You're listening to Christian News in Focus. We can be heard each week at this same time. And it's a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And you can also reach us on the web at ohioca.org or phone us at 330-887-1922. Thanks so much for listening. Join us next week for part two of Reaching the Millennial Generation. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the work and ministry of the Ohio Christian Alliance, please visit online at oca.org. That's oca.org. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio.